Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, I'm right there.
Hello and welcome from deep inside Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week at Jolly Roger's studio where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our weekly top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know it. This week, the movie in question is the 2011 Ralph Fiennes directed adaptation of Shakespeare's anti-hero piece, Coriolanus.
That's correct.
Did I say that right?
Yeah. But you mispronounced it.
Yeah.
Ralph.
What's it? He says Rafe. Look, man.
Rafe.
It's Ralph, okay? I refuse to do that. You set me up for that, too. You said it's Rafe.
That's right.
Last week.
Yeah, that's right.
I love that movie with Charlie Sheen, The Rafe. Oh, that's not
The Rafe.
Yeah. Mm. Never mind.
Oh, there actually was a film called The Rafe. Okay, but we're talking about Ralph. Ralph Fiennes. I'm not coming down off of that.
All right.
The 2011 piece, Shakespeare's anti-hero, like I say, Coriolanus. So we're going to get into that. This was queued up by Hard Sub Savage. We'll talk about that in a second. This film also inspired our top three, as they all do. This one is no different. Top three uncompromising characters in film. So if you've seen this film, just keep listening. See if you agree or disagree. Or if not, hey, even better, right? You keep listening to see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself. That's the way the game is played.
It happens.
It does happen often.
And you should.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
spoilers ahead. Be warned.
Get that cat back in the back. So introductions here. I'm Michael, your host. As always, and to my left, we're talking about James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
You know, I'm doing okay, Savage. I had a pretty good week.
Did you?
Yeah, absolutely I did. You want to know why?
Yes.
I'll tell you why I had a pretty good week, because I didn't have to defend myself against the manipulated horde.
I don't know if you did or not.
I know for a fact that my mother didn't make me cry.
That's the worst.
This week.
But the best reason, to tell you why I had an excellent week, was because Gerard Butler did not shave my head. Shave my back.
Oh.
It was my back.
Just your back.
Yeah. So, you know.
Sounds like that would be something pretty cool. Hey, Gerard Butler shaved my head, man.
Gerard Butler shaved my head. Not the actor Gerard Butler, just some guy named Gerard Butler.
Yeah. He's actually a butler named Gerard.
Gerard the Butler shaved my head. Right. Yeah, so I had a pretty good week, Savage. Anytime you can say those three things in synchronicity,
yep.
I think you should count your blessings.
It's a pretty good week.
Yeah. So that's it from you. But to your left, we're talking about Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality outerwear.
Hi. Hey.
Hey, how are you doing?
You know, had a pretty good week.
As good a week as I did? Let me see your head. Yep, still got it.
Yeah, most of it.
Speaking of outerwear, is Roman chainmail considered outerwear, quality outerwear?
Sure,
you think so? Even though we didn't see any in this film, I just wanted to ask a question.
Well, yeah, I think it's a very integral piece. Yeah.
In Rome.
And you know it's high quality, it's handmade.
Sure.
Handmade.
Yeah, right.
I should have said flak jackets.
Yeah.
Flak jackets.
Give me no flak, and that is Max Gumbo Johnson to your left.
What's happening?
I'm doing just fine.
I know.
I'm ready to talk about this film. Let's round this out with the producer, as always, greatest producer in the history of the Q Filmcast. That is Adam the Bomb Rogers.
Hiath.
You see that spin? Did you see that?
I did.
Did you ready to get your Shakespeare on?
Well, I'm always ready to get my Shakespeare on.
My Shakespeare. That's the most Shakespeare I think we're going to get, actually, from the producer right there.
Right.
Is that how you speak Shakespeare? You just add if to everything?
I think so, yeah. Let's talk about it. Keep up with us. Man, I can't forget that. I almost did. Did you see that?
I did.
Did you see me reaching and pull it right back out?
Mm-hmm.
It's vital.
It is very vital to the survival of not only this empire, but the show.
Empire.
That's right. That's right. Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Google Plus, YouTube. It doesn't matter what you want. You just look up the QFilmcast.net. We're there.
We're there.
But you know what we say every week, Savage, too.
I do.
If you want to get back with us, give us some feedback about how we're doing here on this show, any of the other shows, or you just want to see what we look like. Doesn't matter.
Sorta, yeah.
Leave us some feedback. You go to the QFilmcast.net. That's it, right there, QFilmcast.net. Stop on in. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know what you think. We love it. It's called
the feedback. The doors are open.
The doors are open wide. I didn't know. Okay. All right, so let's get into it, guys. You ready to cue up the conversation here?
Sure. Yeah.
2011, Coriolanus, And Savage, this is your film. Why did you say, hey, well, we all know why, but let's tell the audience.
Yeah.
Watch this film. Why are we talking about Corey Landis?
Because it's Shakespeare, simply. Been threatening it for the entirety of this show. Did a little Shakespeare light some months ago with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. I pray that you like this movie more. But it was time for some full-on Shakespeare, and Coriolanus is one of the lesser-known plays, so I don't know that another movie has been made about it. And director.
It is a director, and I mentioned that out there a little while ago. Yeah, stars Ralph Fiennes.
You almost said it.
Yeah. I did. It's Ralph Fiennes, okay. And it's directed by Ralph Fiennes. It's his first directorial debut here.
Yep.
It's a virgin director.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, we coined that phrase to any new listeners. If you take a person who's in the film that he's directing, he's a director. So, yeah, there you go. Yeah, let's get into this, man. Well, you know what was going to happen. You knew it, Hoodie, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Shakespeare. He has been hanging that over our head for a long time.
The Sword of Damocles.
I don't mind that.
So, yeah, let's talk about how this landed on us. Film stars Ralph Fiennes, Gerard Butler, Jessica Chastain, who I like a lot.
Yeah. Mm.
Brian Cox.
Yes. Mm. Brian Cox.
Yeah.
My man.
You know him?
Love Brian Cox.
I haven't seen him this excited since Wings Hauser.
Man, every movie should have Brian Cox.
And Wings Hauser.
Even if it's just a picture of him on someone's desk. It makes the movie 10 times.
That's a challenge to every director from here on out.
Yep. You have your mission, Hollywood.
The gauntlet has been laid down.
I would probably let him shave my head.
Oh, Brian Cox any day.
My hair grows, so.
Yeah.
Outstanding. Boy, I thought you might like him that because I think you've mentioned before you like Brian Cox. So, yeah. Way to punch it home, Max. Right. You like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Fiennes, I like him, too. I like all these people. Gerard Butler, Jessica Chastain, and don't forget Vanessa Redgrave.
Yeah, do not forget her.
Do not. I wanted to end with that.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you why later. Yeah, let's talk about some of the details here. People who like this film also liked The Life and Times of James Hardsub Savage. Anybody seen this?
No.
It's still in production.
I've avoided that one.
Yeah. Is Brian Cox in it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'll watch it.
Yeah. We're buds.
Yeah, he's buds. No, actually, that's a film that does not exist. And if it ever came out, God, I can't wait to cue that one up. Machine Gun Preacher, they like that. Chasing Mavericks, never heard of it. Playing for Keeps, Gamer?
Yeah.
Gamer?
Yeah. What is Gamer?
Gerard Butler?
It's an algorithm. None of that is true.
Okay, so basically, what I'm going to tell you is that anybody who likes Gerard Butler liked this film.
Right.
All right, guys, let's get into the film. Enough of that. Let's talk about what this is. And what we like to do is throw over to the critics and tell you what they thought before we get into what we thought. You know how this goes down.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I go to IMDb and I always ask Savage.
Yeah.
And he usually gives me a percent when he should give me a something point something.
Oh, okay.
IMDb gave this film, Coriolanus 2011, what? What point what?
7.6.
A little high up there. Not too far off. 6.1.
Hmm.
It passed the grade a little bit.
Nah.
A little above average.
Slightly above average, Max. But you're way above average.
I know.
In every capacity.
But I'm no Coriolanus.
God, I love this guy. I just love Max Gumbo Johnson. Let's go over to you then for Rotten Tomatoes. You know, we're talking about percentage-wise fresh. What do you think critics gave this film on
Me?
Rotten Tomatoes?
Or him?
Yeah, I'm going to you, Gumbo.
Well, I saw what they gave it, so what? I already know. It was 94, wasn't it?
93.
93.
And you still got it wrong.
I still got it wrong.
He still got it wrong. He knew it and he got it wrong.
I guess I didn't know it.
That's a pretty big
Somebody
disparity.
Came in with a bad review after I looked at the score.
Oh, did they?
Probably.
Oh, that was me. I'm sorry.
It might have been Captain Cat's coming out of the bag. What about you, Hoodie, user-wise?
90?
58.
Ooh. Yowza.
That is a big spread between user and critics, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. But there's what the critics basically... You know, and some of the users, I guess, think of this film. let's talk about what this film is. I'm going to get through this real quick. Then we're going to take a brailer.
A brailer.
That's a break and a breather, people.
I thought that's when you read the trailer with through braille.
My apologies. I was so flustered over my excitement with Brian Cox. I said brailer. We're going to take a break and listen to a trailer.
Brailer.
I think we just coined a new phrase.
I think we did. Let's get into the film here. Here's what you have. Caius Marcius Coriolanus is a revered and feared Roman general who's at odds with the city of Rome and his fellow citizens. Pushed by his controlling and ambitious mother, Pat Savage, help me out. How do you say that?
Volumnia.
There you go. Played by Vanessa Redgrave, to seek the exalted and powerful position of consul. He is loath to integrate himself with the masses whose votes he needs in order to secure the office. But when the public refuses to support him, Coriolanus's anger prompts a riot that accumulates in his expulsion from Rome. The banished hero then allies himself with his sworn enemy, Tullius Afudius Fitzpatrick.
That's what I call him.
Yeah. Played by Gerard Butler.
Phineas.
That's what I'm going to say.
Right.
To take revenge on his own city. Basically, it's a tale of revenge.
It is.
Is what it is.
And friendship.
Anyways, let's take a break here, listen to a trailer, a little piece of the film. We shall meet you back here in just a minute. Here's Coriolanus 2011.
My name is Caius Martius Coriolanus. If ever again I meet him, he's mine, or I am his.
To our noble consul, Coriolanus.
Heavens bless my lord and husband.
You are a traitor to the people.
Right. Right. Call me traitor.
Martius is worthy of death!
I will fight against my country.
And then men die.
So there it is, a piece, a trailer from the film we're talking about tonight. 2011, Coriolanus, written and directed. Well, not written.
Written
what am
and
I
directed.
Saying? Written by Shakespeare.
Right.
Directed by Ralph Fiennes. And there you go. There's a piece of that. So this is queued up by James Hardsub Savage, and we're going to talk about this film. First thing, though, let's talk about a little bit of did you know? Did you know that director Kathryn Bigelow decided to offer Jessica Chastain the lead role in Zero Dark Thirty? After Ralph Fiennes showed her a rough cut of his film?
No, I did not know that.
Oh, he inspired her.
Good move.
Yeah. That worked out really well.
Mm-hmm.
And, boy, I love that film. But Gerard Butler's first stage role was in a production of Coriolanus. I wonder if that had anything to do with him being attracted to this film.
Almost certainly.
Yeah. He was poked in the eye with a wooden stake during rehearsals for this. Did
a
you
wooden
know that?
Stick?
A wooden stick.
Whoa. That's what Monty Python's, like, favorite weapon.
What kind of a...
A pointed stick.
But it was merely a flesh wound. Don't worry about
right.
it.
Right.
But what kind of a trivia is that? He was poked in the eye with a wooden stick.
Apparently this was a pretty not too exciting shoot.
That's crazy. Well, I'll tell you what's exciting. The fierce fight scene between Butler and Fiennes took 2 days to shoot.
That? Yeah. Really?
Man, it wore them guys wearing each other out there for 2 days trying to film that thing.
They did look exhausted.
They did look exhausted. I think that was actual sweat.
And spittle.
And spittle. Right. Yeah. Did you know that two of the cast members have appeared in Hannibal Lecter movies? Brian Cox played Lecter. I forgot about that. He did in Manhunter, 1986.
How could you forget about that?
I just forgot. I forgot it was him because he was so much thinner and younger then. Hmm. Ralph Fiennes played him, or he appeared in his remake, Red Dragon, in 2002. Yeah, so one last thing. One line states that Coriolanus, played by Ralph Fiennes, has grown from man to dragon. In the film Red Dragon, 2002, Fiennes' character wished to become a dragon. That is creepy.
It is creepy.
Yeah. Enough of the facts,
not
enough
really.
Of the figures. Yeah.
That's creepy.
All right, so we know what the critics thought. There's some things to chew on, a little bit of nuggets for you. So let's talk about what we thought. Let's get into the film here. We don't use thumbs up. We don't use stars because it's stupid.
No,
that's right. It's dumb.
It's just stupid. Tonight we're using, let me see. We figured this out earlier. Is it spittle? 1 to 10 spittles?
Right.
Yes. Streams of spittle.
Streams of spittle.
Yeah. Eruptions of spittle. Streams of spittle.
Eruptions.
Not eruptions.
Not eruptions.
I'm not on board with that.
That's just full on vomit. Right. Anyways, spittles. Any way you want to say it. The Savage, Coriolanus 2010, 1 to 10 spittles. You queued this up. I have a feeling you liked it.
I did.
Go with it. What you got?
Well, I love Miss Shakespeare films and I've seen most of them. This is pretty good, but for a lot of reasons, I got to give it a 7.
Hmm. A lot of reasons you got to give it a 7. Okay. Yeah. So, all right, well, you didn't blow the lid off it.
No, but, yeah, I got it graded against other Shakespeare films.
See, that's what I was going to kind of ask.
Shakespeare films?
Yeah.
He's putting it against his own arsenal. Kind
of thing. So, in the pantheon of Shakespeare films that I watched, I give this a 7.
Okay, so 7 for you, Spittles. Going to go over to Matthew St. Odie, the patron saint of quality outerwear. Spittles, Coriolanus, 2011, what you got?
I really wanted to like this, James. I love you. I love you, buddy. great movie poster. I was excited. Got to give it a 2. Hated every second of this. Every second. It took me forever to watch it.
Honest to God.
Hated it.
But you gave it a 2.
Because it's Shakespeare. Gotta give it a point for being Shakespeare. Allegedly.
And a poster. Shakespeare and a poster.
Bottom fell out. Yeah, well, you know, let's just see where this goes from here. We're going to go over to Max Gumbo Johnson. You know the routine. Give me your answer. What is it?
I'm not going to compare this to the other Shakespeare movies I've seen, because if it did that, I'd give it a one.
Yeah.
But as it stands, I'll give it four streams of spittle.
Four streams of spittle. Okay.
Yeah, four. It didn't do much for me.
You know, it's one of those ones that can fall on you differently and almost unappealing, because it is that mesh between let's take Shakespeare and try to modernize it.
Yeah.
That can be a tough sell, man. And everybody keeps trying it.
And it never works.
Yeah.
It works.
Nope.
Sometimes.
We'll see if it worked here. Let's see if it worked for the producer. You know it. What you got?
Thou was boredeth.
Did you expect him? Well, how boredeth was you? We know that.
Two.
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 You guys.
Savage, you can't bring the heat here.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised at this at all. I'm sitting at a table with Philistines. So.
Listen, you kind of set yourself up for this almost weekly.
Right.
You ask us to go deep, go against the fence for me on this one. And I did. I'll tell you what, man. Since it's Shakespeare, I'll set the stage, so to speak. That's a pun, man.
I get it.
That's puntastic.
That is.
Can't say I was overly eager to sit down and watch this one, Savage Coralinas. Yeah. But was with all these films that require me to put down a certain preconceived notion about how I'll feel, I do give a window of opportunity to pull me in, okay?
Sure.
And like I say, I've seen this let's reboot Shakespeare modern thing. And most of them don't work for me. We've had the DiCaprio one.
Romeo and Juliet. God,
man, I did like Leguizamo in that. Then you had the
great
Hamlet
soundtrack.
One. They all kind of turn out to be an eye-rolling experience. I will say, this one kind of hit the mark for me a little bit. It did. It really did. I actually found it a bit engaging, thought-inducing, and the language kind of rubbed me the right way. So,
cool.
Yeah. I'm only familiar with this thing in passing, too, the story of Coriolanus.
Yeah. You know, not many people are.
Pretty old story. I was not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what I liked about it was, see, I think I might have liked it because I really grabbed on to what the idea behind the film is. This is an incredibly relevant tale. I thought it's like the story of the wolf, the herd, the shepherd, and how the wolf is trying to deal with the herd, and the herd is trying to sell the wolf. And
I would have rather seen that. Make it a cartoon. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think we've seen that.
Yeah, right.
But it's that relation politically between those three branches of society.
Yeah.
And once I knew it was that, I forgave it all of its, I think it's almost nonsensical trying to make, I would rather have seen this done as
old school,
but with modern language. I think that would have worked well. But to be honest, I did like the film. I thought the performances were fantastic.
We'll
get into that. So I'm going to go ahead and give it a 7.
All right.
I'm going to get on 7 there with you.
All right.
I really thought I'd be down low. This one, for some reason, rubbed me right. I'm going beard to beard with
beard
you, sir.
Beard to beard.
Beard to beard.
Beard to beard.
Actually, you have more like stubble to stubble.
Yeah.
So where do we go from here? I think we have these
22 streams of spittle.
20. That's not.
That's not good.
That's still a lot of spill.
That's more than you want. Yeah.
All right, so let's go around the table and let's go back where we started. That's James Hartsub Savage. I'm going to go up there with James a little bit on this one. I'm going beard to beard with Savage.
All right.
7 streams of spittle, 14 between us. Go.
Well, I gave it a 7 for different reasons, probably for more of what I didn't like. I think the story of Coriolanus translates to modern times flawlessly. I think the relevance of the story transcends time. It's a timeless story. And that's the beauty of Shakespeare, is that his stories they deal with archetypes and situations that, for the most part, transcend time. There are certain things in this film that don't transcend time, and that's what rubbed me the wrong way. Like, you got to know your Roman history about patricians and plebeians. You got to know how they interacted with one another to understand what's going on. Otherwise, the ruling class just looks like they're uncaring.
Yeah,
they're just an uncaring elite, and that's not the case in history. That's
sounds
not
like modern day times.
It does sound like modern day times, but it's not the case, because patricians back in the day, they were responsible for the defense of everything. So the plebeians didn't really do anything. So as a soldier, when he goes to them and he's like, "You haven't done anything to deserve this anger that you have. This is what we do for you."
Right,
and that's where his contemptuousness of that class comes from. And he's just a pure character in that way. That's why we're doing uncompromising characters. It's in honor of that. As a director, I mean, Ralph Fiennes pulled together a tight bunch of people.
Right.
You know, Brian Cox.
Vanessa Redgrave.
Vanessa Redgrave, who's a powerhouse in this. Jessica Chastain, I thought, was a little underused. But Brian Cox was an amalgamation of characters. That wasn't...
He was like the chorus.
No, not really. I mean, he was...
I like that analogy there. Yeah,
and the
he
thing
was.
Is, y'all don't know this about me, but when I watch a Shakespeare movie, I read it at the same time. Oh. I've got my collected works of Shakespeare, and I'll just see what they cut out. See,
my God.
You know what?
Really, do you?
Yeah, I do. Mm. And this one's all over the place, man. It took me a while. Third act stuff is in the first act. Second act stuff is, you know, and that's what kind of brought my score down. John Logan did a great job parsing together pieces of Shakespeare to make a film, but it's not like the play. Probably 30% of the play is gone.
John Logan was actually recruited by Ralph Fiennes to help him work on this film.
Yeah.
This same guy, he wrote the screenplay for Gladiator, Last Samurai, Skyfall.
Yeah.
So I guess what he's doing.
Yeah, it's kind of in his wheelhouse, but apparently Fiennes had quite a thing for him and said, come on in here and help me write this screenplay. So, but you're saying that didn't work.
Well, I'm saying as a kind of purist, it just hit me wrong. It's instead of following the narrative of William Shakespeare, Coriolanus, he's taking elements from the play to try to work in the medium of film. And I get it. I will allow that. You know, it's okay. You're trying to make this to make a contemporary modern version of play.
Yeah. If you want it to be a play, go see the play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those things hit me wrong. The performances hit me right, and I think the relevance of this particular play transcends time. I think this was a good choice by Ralph Fiennes to do.
Yeah.
It's an underknown, underused play,
yeah,
and it seems fresh in that way.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, one thing I will say is you pick up on the ambition of it, and Fiennes apparently has a thing for this piece. When he's on screen, you can sense his love for it, the material. Yeah. It just oozes from his vocabulary, his mouth. You know, the dialogue just rolls from him. But I sensed a lot of love here from him for this project.
Certainly.
And it came off very, very,
yeah,
you know, it just came off like it was a real good love affair between him and this film.
Yeah,
so
you're going to go film in Bosnia. Yeah.
Yeah, they did film in Bosnia. Yeah. But let's move over to Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint, because he went way down.
He was bored.
He was bored, or I think he was actually kind of angry at the end of this one.
I wasn't angry.
Talk about it. You gave it a 2. That's way down there.
Yeah, I thought the story was actually pretty good. You say the performances were amazing. I hated them. I thought Brian Cox was the worst.
Really?
Oh, I thought
it was
great.
Awful. It was just, I could not get pulled into this at all. I was always very aware that I was watching, a representation of a Shakespeare play.
Yeah.
And the language killed me.
Really?
And,
do you have a problem with Shakespeare language?
No, I don't have it. But I mean, I did watch it, about a quarter of the way through, hated it. And when I said, I'm going to turn on the subtitles just to make sure I'm getting everything and I can read it and hear it. I want to make sure I'm not missing anything. And I watched it again and, you know.
Didn't work for you. I thought the second half of this film was a little stronger, though. It started to bottom out and then it picked up a little bit. I don't know.
I think I was too far gone, maybe, at that point. But yeah, the performances I thought were just awful.
Oh, okay. So you're hanging this too on the performances. What else could have been?
Not so much. I'll get on board with you with the Fiennes with his performance. He was awesome. But Brian Cox, I just did not like. And the scene that I keep going back to in my head is when he was sitting with the wife and the mother, and the little kids in the room. I don't know exactly what scene that was. It was kind of like his introductory scene, I want to say, where they just kind of sat down.
Where he's coming back from the war.
Yeah, but the jokes didn't make any sense, and they were just...
Well, that's an amalgamation. I mean, just as point of fact, not to interrupt, but that's an amalgamation. That was actually a female character. It was like a servant talking to the ladies, and that was one of the characters that came to be... He amalgamated.
All right.
He wasn't even supposed to be in that scene. That character is not in that scene in the play.
I hated that scene.
Really?
I couldn't stand the expression on their faces. It just didn't. Yeah, I guess maybe it did upset me.
I felt like it was really top heavy on Fiennes here. I thought he carried the film so much that it overshadowed a lot of people in this film, like especially Butler.
Yeah.
I didn't like Butler in this film.
I didn't mind him.
I thought
him.
He was the weakest.
He was.
Yeah.
Didn't you want those scenes when they clashed him to be just as over the top and just as
driven
as Fiennes, and it's like he was just kind of like, all right, I'll spot you here, you know.
Yeah.
I'll get on board with that too. I didn't hate him in this. I mean, he wasn't the worst part. I really would wish I knew him a little bit better. I guess maybe you said they cut some stuff out and there wasn't enough character development. I really didn't feel like I knew this guy at all or where he was coming from. Really had no idea what the opposition was to Rome or what the whole deal was about.
Yeah.
I miss kind of like why this all was happening too. But as far as, all that being said, the directing I thought was atrocious. I thought it was just awful.
There was some bad directing.
It was just awful.
I didn't see that.
And it had a lot of fourth wall breaks that I thought would really bother you. Yeah. It had like 3. And every time I see one now, I think of you, James.
did you find yourself being somewhat forgiving of that because it's a first time director?
Nope.
Okay. I did not. You know what you are? You're uncompromising.
I am an uncompromising character.
I'm going to change my number one when we get to our top three to Matthew St. Hoodie, uncompromising character. And we're talking about Corey Lane's 2011. And then let's go over to Max Gumbo Johnson. I think you gave 4?
I gave it a 4.
Okay. Didn't despise it, didn't like it, but tell me why.
A lot of the same stuff Matt just said. I'm just sitting there 10 minutes in. I'm like, what is going on? I have no reason why these people are fighting, why they're rioting, none of that stuff. I mean, yeah. I'm glad you explained some of that stuff. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, now it kind of makes sense. I mean, but, yeah, I mean, if they're going to do all that, they're going to make an amalgamation of characters to represent all these people in one person, and they're going to move stuff from Act 3 to Act 1, and then from 2 to 3, and 3 to 1. And I mean, if they're going to do all that, well, then put something at the beginning to explain what the hell's going on.
They could scroll something.
Yeah, you could have done a scroll, anything, something to tell me what's... I mean, you literally are thrown into the middle of this thing with no idea what's going on, and you remain clueless throughout the rest of the movie. You don't know why these guys hate each other. You don't know why this one's so disdainful, why people hate him, why'd they kick him out.
I think they tried to do some of that with the newscast.
They did.
And, it just came off as like the easy way out.
It did.
And it really didn't work at all for me.
I was going to say, you mentioned that tea room setting scene where they're all sitting around. That newscaster thing killed me.
Oh, playing in the background?
Yeah. I was like, you know, if you want to update Shakespeare, fine. Use the story, use the characters, but update the language. The language just is, it just doesn't work in a modern setting. And when that newscaster came on, I was like, that's it. I've had enough. That's just the worst.
You know, there were a few things about this that I couldn't quite put my finger on that I didn't like. And I think Max just told me what it was. It's that beginning really not being set up enough to really punch myself into the story right away. That's why I say it bottomed out quick, but then eventually kind of got me back. But I'm with you on that.
I didn't care about any of these people.
Right.
Not at all. I mean, when Corey Lanis gets thrown out of town, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then you see him sleeping on the side of the road, and he's like, hey, can you? Like, okay. Somebody gave him a ride. Oh, now he's going to go get with this guy. The guy, I don't know why they hate each other, that guy. Yeah. And then he's like buddy-buddy with
now
him.
Now they don't hate each other.
And then he shaved his head. And don't forget he shaved his head.
Yeah, well.
That's how you bond.
That's how you become a badass.
Yeah, and you get a tattoo on your neck of a dragon.
Right.
Well, there's some things that kind of saved this, pulled it out of the fire for me. And a lot of it has to do with the performances. I don't know why I liked them. I thought
they were awesome.
But I mean, Vanessa Redgrave. You know, after I watched this, I went back and Googled early pictures of Vanessa Redgrave.
She was a stunner, man.
Hoodie, look at him. You'll be at 5.
Okay.
I'm telling you. I'll get to that in a minute, though. I'll tell you why I think I went up more than I thought, because unlike you, Hoodie, you say you wanted to like this. I didn't want to. I thought there's nothing here I really am going to like about this.
Well, it had a good poster, Michael.
It had a pretty good poster, yeah.
Did have that.
There's no spittle in the poster, though, coming out of his mouth. There should have been.
I agree.
That might have worked. Should we do this? Should we? Wait a second. Audience, the producer, I'm looking at his screen. He's looking at old pictures of Vanessa Redgrave.
Pictures of old Vanessa Redgrave.
Stone Cold Fox.
You want to go up? You want to go up? Look at that. You want to go up to 5? Hoodie, look at that.
Nope.
That's Vanessa Redgrave.
All right.
Anyways, let's do this. Go over to the producer. Put that down.
And we're not talking about the pictures. That's
we're not. You didn't like this film at all. Tell me why. You want to back anybody up or part ways with them? What do you want to do?
The exact same what everyone else is saying. The language was horrible in it. I had to go back and actually read it to figure out what's going on with it.
That's not it. And I really think.
Look.
No, listen.
Point of fact.
It's seriously.
If you read Shakespeare.
I read Shakespeare in high school and all that stuff. I read a lot of his plays. It doesn't translate to modern day. It's horrible. It's stupid. Sorry.
It's stupid.
I would rather have it
stupid.
You know, I would rather have it done. Like I say, show me old. Like almost like Braveheart. Show me old, but talk to me in new.
Yeah, I was thinking almost the exact opposite. I was like, if this was set like Equilibrium, like in the future, where it's not my time, any time that's not my time, I would be a little more forgiving of
it. Man, that's a good concept right there. Now, wasn't that done with Hamlet too?
Titus Andronicus.
Ooh. Well, what's his name? Ethan Hawke did a new version of this. Hamlet.
I haven't seen his.
Yeah, Disney did one too, called The Lion King. It was way better than this.
This was not The Lion King.
Tell you, we're going to take a break in just
a second.
The Lion
King was Hamlet.
I didn't get to finish.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can I finish?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were finished.
No, the acting even was so-so. The only one that even did really decent was Vanessa Redgrave's. Everyone else was horrible in it. The directing was bad, and I thought the story overall was completely lame.
The story was good. I actually liked the story.
I didn't like the story at all.
All right.
He's just back and forth, back and forth. Who cares?
Hey, producer. In a little bit, we're going to get to some of the performances and some of the scenes that maybe possibly we all liked that we took from it at the end. I'll ask you more about that a little bit. You say all the performances sucked except Vanessa Redgrave. We may be on board with that. I have no idea. But before we take a quick break, I will tell you what I thought. Basically, why I think this thing went up for me, and it was, once again, the premise. Politically, I like the structure of this film. You have the unruly horde.
Yes.
Who are just basically waiting to be swayed.
Yes.
You have the shepherd, which is in turn the government, who are going to manipulate the sheep, and basically they ultimately eat you.
Exactly.
And then you have the wolf, who is trying to keep other wolves from the flock, who in the end is forced back to his pack. I mean, I look at that as is relevant today, back then, and that's why it become fascinating to me, is because this was written so long ago, yet the themes are still intact. And once I kind of really grabbed onto that message of how, as a society, we all function and how we all kind of rely on one another, I began to kind of really get into the story. I didn't know the ins and outs of Coriolanus, but I picked up on that instantly.
Yeah.
And then you throw Ralph Fiennes and his spittle and his bald-shaved head. And I thought, you know what? Here's a guy that went to work every day, and the more I looked into the backstory of this, he loves this play.
Yeah.
I wanted to love it for him. I wanted to pick up on his ambition. I wanted to pick up on his work ethic, that you could just see he wanted this to be a great piece of cinema. And I held on to that. I held on to the premise I liked. I held on to his performance. Throw in Vanessa Redgrave, who, it's just one of those, like Lauren Bacall. You hear the name, you wonder why she's revered. And then you see something like this and you're like, you know what? That was just fascinating and enjoyable to watch because of her. And, all of that brought me up to a 7, but I'm not going to part ways with Max or Hoodie. There is some really juvenile, amateur filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. Easy decisions.
Yeah, easy decisions, very much eye-level camera work pulling you along that I just forgave because of all the stuff I liked. But let's take a break and listen to some of these performances that the producer hated, that I enjoyed, that Hoodie wanted to like, that Max sort of enjoyed, and whatever.
Well, if it's a Brian Cox clip, he'll like it.
You know what we should do? Why don't we take a break right now, listen to a little bit of Brian Cox.
I want to hear that T scene.
Max has a Brian bias.
You want to hear the T scene? Yeah, here you go.
Come. I must have you play the idle housewife with me this afternoon.
No, good sir, I will not out of doors.
Not out of doors?
She shall.
Indeed, no, by your patience. I'll not over the threshold till my lord return from the wars.
Fie, you confine yourself most unreasonably.
I cannot go hither.
Oh, you would be another Penelope. Yet they say all the yarns she spun in Ulysses' absence did but fill Ithaca full of moths.
No, good sir, pardon me. Indeed, I will not forth.
Go with me, and I'll tell you excellent news of your husband.
Brian Cox, Coriolanus, 2011. That was what you listened to right there, and that's the film we're talking about. And that's Shakespeare. That's Shakespeare for you done modern times.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, sorta.
It's abridged Shakespeare.
Yeah.
It's a hard one to pull off.
Abridged, man. Rearranged.
Yeah.
So modernized. How can you even call it Shakespeare anymore?
And Shakespeare.
All right.
In the end, it's all Shakespeare in a way. A lot of it is, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Coen Brothers. It's a lot of Shakespeare there.
Oh yeah.
How about Max Gumbo Johnson? Let's lead this end of it off, and that's the scenes we like, scenes that we kind of remember. You look back on this film. I know you just went through your diatribe here about how much you did not enjoy this film, but let's talk about something in the end that you kind of put as a centerpiece here. You remember what about Coriolanus 2011? Anything in particular you want to talk about?
As a centerpiece?
Yeah.
Well. The fight, their first fight.
God, everybody talks about that too.
That's about the only thing I can remember.
Only memorable thing in the movie.
The beard to beard.
And it was
not that memorable.
Terribly directed. It was awful. If Ralph Fiennes is going to make another movie, which, no, he is not.
he's spending that Harry Potter money.
He needs to stop taking his cues from Paul Greengrass on how to film action. It was terrible. Well, hold the camera still.
Hey, Barry Ackroyd shot that. Barry Ackroyd.
I don't care. I don't care. He directed it. He said, "Here, move the camera around. Shake the camera. Move it. Hold the damn thing still so I can see what's going on."
It was Greengrassy.
Jason Bourne movies weren't this shaky. You know? Hell, I seen GoPro films on some guy's bicycle helmet that didn't move around as much.
Max, you're brilliant, man.
It was, I hated it. I mean, it was.
Okay. Did you give him?
I think it would have been better had they filmed it better.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're coming.
Choreograph it better, film it better.
Yeah.
It had no impact.
Interesting. You're coming down on technical merit. Hoodie talks about the performances. So it could have gone in a better direction. Technically for you, might have gone up a little bit for you.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay.
And my big thing with the language, if they'd have just updated the language and used the story, that would have made a complete world of difference for me.
This felt heavy on the Shakespeare, man. It felt so Shakespearean to me as far as...
Yeah, it put up a whole wall me and the story.
It's supposed to be a meddling, kind of a blending of the two, and it felt really heavy as language-wise on the Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't pull any punches there. It didn't round off the edges at all.
No, but I don't think Shakespeare should. I think the point of it is the language.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The point of it is the story.
The story is timeless. The story is the story of political strife and unrest in a populace.
If the point of Shakespeare...
That story's been told many times.
Well, the point of Shakespeare is, you know, the language. Then what's the point in even modernizing it
To show the beauty of the language with the timelessness of the content.
I don't know how I feel about this. You know, I really don't. Because
Why people do it.
That's why they do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it does kind of... When it's removed so far from what it was originally intended for, it showcases it really boldly.
Really, it does.
That language, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It becomes distracting.
Well, it doesn't always have to be a period piece, I think, is what people are trying to do with modernizing. I prefer my Shakespeare in the period of which it's telling the story as well.
Yeah.
Other than Titus, which is like just a weird non-time.
I don't mind if they're going to do the update and set it in a different time, but update the language as well. You can't have both and have it work.
Sure you can.
They proved time and time again. Yeah.
I love Romeo and Juliet with the Leonardo DiCaprio. I thought that was a great update.
I don't even care for Romeo and Juliet. A couple of dumb kids.
Yeah, I mean, it's a silly story if you really look at it. Oh, they've known each other for 12 hours. Double suicide.
Yeah, they're going to kill him. It's a dumb. It's like, it's so romantic. No, it's not. They're stupid kids.
Yeah. If you want to see dumb kids making bad decisions, I'll hang out at the food court at the mall. I'll see them all day long.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of bad decisions, producer, let's get back to... Now, you say you like Vanessa Redgrave, and let's talk about some of the performances to end this thing. She was my favorite performance. Her and Ralph Fiennes, I thought they were dynamic here. Thank God for it. I might be down there with Hoodie. You like Vanessa Redgrave, right? Isn't that what you said? Favorite performance?
Yeah. What
did you like about her?
Well, that one ending scene where she's confronting him in the courtyard, that was the best scene vocally, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
Other than that, the fight scene, that's it. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing good about this film.
Okay.
And then the worst thing about it was the last shot where they just dump his body into the back of the truck. They did not need to have that shot. It was so stupid.
I like that.
They could have just left him there and it would have made a better ending.
I kind of agree with Adam. I hate that I said that.
I can't believe you said that.
It was just a dumb ending. I thought when he did that, I was like, just why did they do that?
I don't know. I like that. It just went boom. His head hits the truck and it's Coriolanus. The credit comes up. Didn't bother me. Max, did that bother you?
Never thought about it.
Now it does, doesn't it? Now that you think about it.
But now I'm like, yeah, that is kind of what, that's not what they do in Shakespeare. They just walk away and let somebody else come clean up the body. They didn't go like, oh, let's get Caesar and put him in the bath and clean him off.
Should it be a Dodge Chevy? What are you thinking?
Since we're on performances, Hoodie, you didn't like him at all, did you? But you said you're kind of with me on Redgrave. I mean, obviously she's a pro. I sense she's done this sort of thing before. What did you like? Is anything in the performances, you can give it credence for or give it to...
No, and I didn't like her in this.
More you think about it.
No, not at all. She just bothered me. And it really is. It's the language. And the language is... It was just them trying way too hard. And I can't think of anything that I really liked about the movie. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize.
What do you do?
It just hits people differently.
Yeah. I do think that if the language was updated, the movie itself, the story would have had a much broader impact, definitely on me.
Okay. Well, you know, my weak point... as far as the performances, is still Butler. I still felt like this could have had a bigger punch, a bigger emotional impact if he was equal to Fiennes. Fiennes was fired up in this film.
Well, he was on par with his wife, I think. She really was kind of subdued the whole time. Didn't really do anything.
You talk about Chastain.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was lame too.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't like her in this film at all.
I didn't, no.
Underutilized.
Just
maybe
she
was in one of those 30% cutscenes.
Yeah, no, there's a huge amount. I mean, a lot of the Coriolanus stuff is cut out. For the immediacy of the film work.
It hurts it, and it shows.
It does, and I think that the film isn't necessarily a good representation of the play. I think what Ralph Fiennes was trying to do, and which I personally believe he succeeded in, was he was trying to give an impression of the character Marcius Coriolanus. And so maybe this was a vanity piece.
Yep, maybe.
You know, somebody gave him some money, said, here, cue it up, you know, direct your own thing. Did a little better than Dax Shepard, right?
Hit and run. You talk about directors.
That's the one.
You know, I guess that I probably was maybe a bit forgiving with Fiennes when it was really, this is his first film, his directorial debut. that was okay. All right. Here, the training wheels are on here.
Yeah.
But you know, there's nothing I can part ways with on Max there. I really did look for how bad the directing was and how obvious it was to me. And it did seem very much off the shelf and out of the can. A lot of it did, but that's because it's a first time director. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of forgiving of that sort of thing. Max, you have no mercy.
He didn't do an awful job. It could have been way worse, but some scenes, like I mentioned, that fight scene, that was awful.
Yeah. What about the last fight scene?
But then, I hated it.
I liked it.
No tension whatsoever.
None, yeah.
No tension. I did not care. Well, first off, I knew it was a tragedy, so I knew the guy was going to get killed.
Right. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, I know who's going to win this fight.
Right.
So there's not really any, there wasn't any tension. There wasn't enough buildup. There was this, oh, we're friends. Oh, no, you did this. Oh, no, we got to kill you.
Yeah.
I was like, well, at least they dropped their guns and went with him at knives.
Gerard
Butler needed to be part of that pack because, once again, this was a story of the wolf returning to his proper pack.
Yeah.
You know, going back to what he really is, which is a warrior.
Right.
And how come Gerard Butler didn't shave his head?
Yeah.
I mean, he looked too pretty boy in this thing or something. He looked a little too polished up. He didn't look like he was equal to Fiennes, not only acting-wise, but just, you know, aesthetically. That's what bothered me, too. What's
probably
he in a leather jacket?
Next romantic comedy.
Yeah, maybe so. With Katherine Heigl, maybe, huh?
Right. Yeah.
That's a good point, though. We'd expect him to be the dirty-looking guy when it's Ray Fiennes, who's got his, you know, he's covered in blood, and he's the Roman guy.
Yeah.
You know, one knock on this film, I was looking at some of the things in some of the other reviews and things, and a lot of people knock it because he's covered in blood too much. He spent a lot of this movie covered
blood
in blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was almost overkill just a little bit. Yeah, he was angry. He was uncompromising. You know what I say we do? I say we kind of end here with a clip. All right? Let's listen to, well, I want to listen to Vanessa Redgrave. How do you like that?
Are you going to compromise on that?
I'm not going to compromise. I want to hear Vanessa Redgrave, and while I'm listening to this, producer, pull up some more of those old pictures of Vanessa Redgrave. We're going to go out on a high note.
Inspiration.
Yeah, inspiration. That was 2011 Corey Lanis. We're going to come back, talk about uncompromising characters in film. But once again, this movie, Corey Lanis 2011, is on Netflix instant streaming. If you care to opine or listen or watch or whatever it is you do.
You should.
You should. Yeah, you know, if you're into Shakespeare.
Nah, don't waste your time.
Yeah. I talk of you. Why would you wish me milder? Would you have me false to my nature? Rather say I play the man I am.
Sir, I would have had you put your power well on before you had worn it out.
Let go.
You might have been enough the man you are, with striving less to be so.
Let the man.
I and burn too.
Come, you've been too rough, something too rough. You must return and mend it.
There's no remedy. Unless by not so doing, our good city cleave in the midst and perish.
Pray. Be counseled. I have a heart as little apt as yours, but yet a brain that leads my use of anger to better vantage.
There it is, a piece of the film, Corey Lanis 2011, the film we talked about tonight, leading us into our top three uncompromising characters in movies, because Corey Lanis was uncompromising, and he was a character in a movie.
Hey, well, let that guy cut his head. Let that guy shave his head.
Yeah.
That was a compromise.
He allowed that guy to shave.
You know what? It still bothers me. One last thing. It still bothers me. They're supposed to be brothers in arms. Here, I'll shave your head, but someone get me my hair gel because I'm not touching mine. I didn't like that Bernard Butler did not shave his head in this
Bernard.
Yeah. And Gerard Butler didn't shave his head either.
You know why?
What did I say? Oh, Gerard Butler, yeah.
Because he was a compromising character.
Maybe that's it.
Nope. I didn't like that he said, we're going to go beard to beard. And the other guy didn't have a beard.
Maybe that's not what he meant.
I may have to go down a notch, Savage.
I'm glad you finished that sentence.
When you say that the main tagline in this film is we're going to go beard to beard, and one of the guy, thank you,
you're right,
does not have a beard, what the hell?
He did when he came the second time.
Yeah, it's even on the poster.
That's funny. That's really funny. Hoodie?
The second time he had a beard.
I would never shave your head and have you not in return shave my head. I want you to know this.
That's brotherhood.
That is brotherhood. What you doing later?
Brotherhood.
Oh, enough of this. Let's talk about uncompromising characters.
Uncompromising characters.
And let's go over Hearts Up Savage, kick it off. You know the routine. Number three, uncompromising characters and film.
He has a subgenre I'm going to guess.
No, I don't. I don't. This one was actually kind of hard on me. Number three, the cowboy with no name, Clint Eastwood and Pale Rider.
Yeah, he was uncompromising. Max, you going to go there? Is Max approved?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. So. Wait a second. Aren't most of Eastwood's characters uncompromising?
Yeah, but Pale Rider.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Pale Rider.
And that speaks for the whole Eastwood experience.
Yeah.
I want to experience Matthew St. Hoodie's number three. I want to experience this. What is it?
Batman.
Why not?
Yeah, it's Batman.
Like so, Adam West Batman?
I was thinking more of Michael Keaton on this one.
Okay.
I like him. What?
He's a good Batman. I like him as Batman. They should bring him back as Batman for the older Batman
like
in the new movie.
Tim Burton movies is what you're saying.
I like some Tim Burton movies.
Some of them.
Some of them. Not all of them.
Nope.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on. Producer, number three, uncompromising characters. Get into it. What's yours, number three?
Vincent Vega from Pulp Fiction.
I don't know. Huh?
He wouldn't change his ways after Samuel L. Jackson was trying to convince him to change his ways. He didn't.
Isn't Sam Jackson more the uncompromising character in that?
No, he changed.
He's trying to get there, Max. Help him out.
He changed his ways.
Okay.
And then Vincent Vega got killed because of it.
I'm not going to hate him for it. I just don't like it.
Doesn't really jump to the forefront for me.
It doesn't jump to the forefront.
That's number three.
But you know what? That's not bad. Right. You know, producer, you gave me something to think about. I appreciate it. I appreciate Max Gumbo Johnson, too, because I know he's going to blow my mind with his number three.
I'm going to have to go Max Rockatansky and the Road Warrior. Mad Max and the Road Warrior.
That dude, you couldn't, he wasn't going to
compromise. You couldn't stop him. He saw a tanker that would hold that gas. Wow. And they had to talk to him to find it.
That's right.
He ate dog food.
He ate dog food. Dinky die.
And liked it.
And then he gave his dog the empty can. He said, I don't care if you're a dog or not. I'm eating this food. You can have the leftovers.
Darn right, man.
He's not going to go hungry.
And his dog goes, that guy will not compromise.
Nope.
Absolutely not. Good answer.
Just walk away.
Max Rockatowski.
Rockatowski.
What did I say?
Rockatowski.
Well, I also said Bernard Butler, so no surprise there. My number three, you know what? I'm going to keep it in the circle here.
All right.
And that is the circle of Jessica Chastain. I'm going to say Zero Dark Thirty. She was uncompromising.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't compromise, Max.
She did.
Buddy, she did not.
Okay.
She kept on him.
What was her name?
What was her name? I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Yeah.
She was good in that film, though, man.
Yeah, she
uncompromising. Love that movie.
Like
but,
a dog on a bone.
I figure we'll keep it in the family here since we've already talked about her. Hard Sub Savage.
Yeah.
The Next Level. Number two.
Number two, Clarence Worley from True Romance.
Man, that's a good answer.
Clarence. Love that guy.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
He didn't back down from nothing.
He didn't, man.
He's so cool.
He's so cool.
Written by Quentin Tarantino.
That's right. Directed by Tony Scott.
Yeah. Fantastic. Love that film, actually. That film dates well,
too. I haven't
seen
that in a while.
If you watch it, it dates well. It's one of those that really does kind of age well, like a fine wine.
I haven't seen that in a long time, actually.
It's good.
I know. I like it.
A ton of people in it.
I haven't seen it in a while.
James Gandolfini.
The eggplant scene.
I know this.
I know.
I've seen the movie. I'm just commenting. I haven't seen it in a while. I need to watch it again.
It's one to return to.
Right.
Let's return over to Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality outerwear. Number two for you. What is it?
It's Batman.
Really?
Christian Bale's Batman.
Okay.
Oh, Christian Bale's Batman.
Yes, he was non-compromising.
I'm picking up on a theme.
There's only one person that doesn't compromise. I don't know if you're going to get that from me.
It's Batman. Okay.
Nice. All right.
What was the best Bale Batman movie?
Well, the second one.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
I have a lot more love for the third one than a lot of people.
Was a better than...
I kind of liked Bane in that third one.
I liked the third one.
Oh!
I liked the third one. Not as much
as
the second one.
We all saw that together.
Oh, we did see it together.
Brotherhood.
I loved it, man.
Yeah, it was great.
I was talking like this for a week. Honey, I just came back from the movie. I saw Bane! I liked it. I also like our producer. Because he's about to give us... A number two. Wait, that didn't sound right. Give me a number two answer for uncompromising characters. What is it?
Henry Potter from It's a Wonderful Life.
Anybody?
Really?
Henry Potter, the banker?
The banker.
He was just doing his job. Yeah, I guess so.
He's just a greedy a-hole.
I mean, these aren't wrong answers. They're just ones that don't jump out.
He didn't change his mind.
Welcome to Adam.
Okay.
He did it later.
Adam is having his fantastical
adventures.
He kept
the money and ran.
List, Mike.
That's all mine, man. I'm so ashamed of that I'm actually proud of it, to be quite honest.
What's that?
And I'll tell you why. My fantastical adventures list. It was fantastic.
Adam's having his fantastical adventures moment here.
Producer, that's not bad. It's just not ones you typically think of. What are you thinking of, Max? Gumbo Johnson, number two for you.
Anton Chigurh. No Country for Old Men.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
You couldn't get that guy to change his mind unless you flip the coin like
that's
he told
right.
you to.
Friendo.
But that's still his way.
Friendo. But that's his way.
Yeah. Coin don't mean nothing.
I put it in your pocket.
Coin ain't got no say.
Well, I didn't put up nothing. You've been putting it up your whole life. You just didn't know it. What you say, friendo, Savage? What's your number? What are we on?
That's your number.
Dude. Oh, my number two.
Your number two.
I've told you this before, and I'm uncompromising on this. Mm-hmm. Whenever I can talk about Dennis Leary, I will. My number two is Dennis Leary from Judgment Night.
Have you told us about Dennis Leary before?
I have, haven't I?
Mm-hmm.
I have, yeah, I have.
You have?
I know I have. See, producer remembers way, way back, like in the early days. Right. You ever seen that Judgment Night?
I don't think I have.
He's so uncompromising in it, man. You offered him money? Nope, I'm still going to kill you. You offered him everything you had? Nope, still going to kill you. You going to do it your way? Yeah, still going to kill you. I mean, uncompromising. Dennis right. Leary, terrifying in that film. Bad movie, but I did like him.
All right.
I liked him in that film, but Savage. Friend
number ones, huh?
I guess.
The number ones. And I've been going to this well a lot, and I guess that says something to the quality of the film. But
The Village People?
Nope. Apocalypse Now, Colonel Kurtz.
He does default back to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
Marlon Brando, Colonel Kurtz, Apocalypse Now. One of the most uncompromising characters you'll ever know.
Really wasn't compromising.
It was also crazy.
Well, that's part of it. So. Because rational people compromise.
No. Batman's rational, dude.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
No.
No, not really. What about you, Hoodie?
Insane.
Are we still going Batman? Or are you gonna go off the?
No, it's Batman.
Come on.
It's specifically Lego Batman.
Lego.
Oh, Lego Batman.
I like how he did that. So no Adam West at all.
No. What?
Oh,
the movies.
No.
Batman Wears Black.
You know what? At first, I didn't like what you were doing there, but you pulled it out with the Lego thing, which I hadn't seen. I need to see this. There you go. That's
Lego
a great
Batman
one.
Did not compromise.
Lego Batman?
Yeah.
Come on.
Lego Batman was an awesome Batman.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He stole the movie.
He's really
yeah.
one of the best.
God, I
have
to see
this. He
writes
good music.
Yeah, he writes a song.
All right.
He's got a new stereo. He's got the subwoofers installed. I call them the dogs. Listen to them bark.
How about the producer? We up to number ones? Yeah, we still are, right? Yeah. Producer, number one for you.
Harry Cooper from Night of the Living Dead.
The bald guy in the basement?
Yes, he went. He only wanted to go to the basement. He wouldn't listen to anyone else. Really? No one?
Nope.
I mean, I know who he is, but...
You're failing on this,
he
Adam.
He came upstairs, and then he went back downstairs.
He was arguing with everyone, which wouldn't be better.
Because he was a jerk.
He was right, though, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, he was the wrong one.
Everyone was wrong in that movie.
I thought there was one right guy.
I can't place the film.
Yeah, right.
I can't place the film. You know, I don't know if it's so much uncompromising as just I'm trying to save my ass. I mean, sometimes it's just I just got to save my ass.
You're right.
He was just a jerk. I'm glad when he got eaten.
Adam, you know what? They're not
I'm
wrong
glad
answers.
You did.
They're just acceptable. They're acceptable answers.
Right.
Mr. Hanging with Mr. Cooper in the basement.
Gumbo, reveal, spill, go.
The Terminator. And the Terminator.
He absolutely will not stop.
And the Terminator, too.
He was compromised, though, in the Terminator. Because they captured him, and they flipped him. Mm-hmm. They compromised him.
They just changed
Terminator
the software.
Terminator 1.
Yeah, and he gave up himself.
Terminator 1.
But you said
told
and
2.
Uncompromised.
And 2, too.
No.
He was just doing a different job in Terminator 2.
All right. He feels no remorse.
I love that guy.
Love the Terminator.
Love T-800. The Terminator.
Absolutely will not stop.
On technical merit, I could tell you, default. I'm not going to do
no,
it.
No, that's good.
It's a robot.
The Terminator 1 is awesome
so?
Answer.
You could say Sarah Connor, too.
You could say Sarah Connor.
She wigged out in the second one. She was
no,
all
she
locked
didn't.
Up, wigged out.
They thought she was wigged out. She wasn't wigged out. She was correct the whole time.
She was correct.
There was a Terminator after her. You remember that first movie?
You think Vanessa Redgrave could have played that part?
Remember that first movie?
You think Vanessa Redgrave could have been in Terminator 2?
She's a little old.
I don't care. She's Vanessa Redgrave.
She could have played a doctor or something.
Have you seen those old pictures of Vanessa
Redgrave? Yeah, I've actually seen some old movies with Vanessa Redgrave.
Whoa.
All right, you want to know what my number one is? I'm proud of this one.
Let's go.
You won't have it.
Okay.
I got it. And I'm talking about Zero Wolf from Apocalypto. He's going to catch.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's
a really good one. That's a really good one.
He wasn't going to compromise, man. He's going to tear off your skin, and he's going to make you watch him wear it. And it didn't matter if you kept a waterfall. We're done. No, we're not. Over the edge. Run through the forest, get eaten by panthers and crap. Nope, that's it.
Eaten by panthers and crap.
We should turn back because there's these killer frogs. I don't care. Non-compromising Zero Wolf. Did you like that film?
Yeah, I really did.
God,
there are a lot of uncompromising guys in that one. Buttonheads.
Yeah.
Panthers and crap.
Yeah, but man, Zero Wolf was,
right.
He was devoted.
He was the father dude?
No, he wasn't the father dude. Well, he was a father, but.
Yeah, he was the main.
He was a bad guy.
Yeah, well.
Jaguar Paw was, the guy trying to get back to the pit.
Yeah, but the leader of the other.
He was the ugly guy.
not the really bad one, but the like the leader.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
He was vicious.
Yeah. Because you mess around with this product.
Everybody's like, man, it's going to take us another day to get around this waterfall. He's like, you want to make a bet? Watch this. He's like, it's going to take you about 2 seconds to get down this waterfall.
That's a really good answer. Yeah, good job.
Thank you. I'm proud of that.
Thank you.
And my honorable mention is anybody from Deliverance. It's my honorable mention. Hey, by the way, you want to get into honorable mention?
Say Ned Beatty compromise.
Oh, yeah, the only one I want to say, Cusack from Gross Point Blank.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Citizen Kane.
He would not join the union. He would not do that. He was out.
He was out. That's on Netflix, by the way.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows what could happen there? Producer, you got any honorable mentions?
A couple. Michael Myers, Halloween.
Well, I said producer, but go ahead.
Oh, my bad.
No, go ahead. No, it's all right.
I'm good.
No, oh. He has none.
Okay, well, I'll go. This is Max, by the way. Not the producer. Harry Callahan, Dirty Harry.
Oh, yeah.
Frank Serpico.
Serpico.
Leatherface.
God, that's a good answer.
Texas
too,
Chainsaw
Serpico.
Massacre. And the Blues Brothers.
They're on a mission from God.
From God.
They did not stop.
Like
you are not going to stop us from paying for that orphanage. And they did
it. No, they did it. You know, I put this out on Twitter, like I always do. Yeah, and a few things come back. You know, our old buddy Frank. Let's talk about him, Frank.
Hey,
at
Frank.
Curious Frankly. Listen to this. He rips off a few here. Kelly in Naked Kiss. What on earth is this?
Nope.
Juror number 8 in 12 Angry Men. Good answer.
Yeah.
Rick in Casablanca.
Yeah.
Rick.
She is.
Wait. No, in 12 Angry Men, I thought about this one.
Yeah.
He finally changed his mind. So, therefore, he was...
Wait a minute. He didn't compromise, though. He didn't change his mind. What are you talking about? He didn't change his mind.
Yeah, he was the guy that
I was thinking
kept
about.
What are you talking about?
Oh, damn it.
Did the guy go free at the end?
I'm thinking
yes,
of Henry
so therefore
Fonda.
It wasn't a hung jury.
Anyways. Frank also says, come on, Frank, a chicken, ginger and chicken run. Come on. I love it. At Rosender says, Walter the Nihilist or the Nihilist in Big Lebowski.
Big Lebowski. Yeah.
Attaboy Clarence at the Great Attaboy Clarence podcast. Atticus Finch and Leatherface, the only two times those two have ever been mentioned together. Oh, how about this one? Boy, this is a great answer. None of us thought of this. At Bubba Wheat says Mel Gibson in Payback.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
He just wanted that money. He just wanted his money back. And I cannot believe you did not jump on board, Max, with at first time watchers when they say Daniel Plainview.
I thought about that. I thought about Daniel
Plainview. Didn't think very hard about it.
But you chose No Country, so...
Man, Anton Shakur.
A little inside joke, but that is ironic. All right, guys, so that rounds that whole conversation out. That's our top three uncompromising characters in film, inspired by the movie we talked about. Coriolanus, man, that's a film that is obviously Shakespeare done modern. You know how that goes. Some of us liked it, some of us didn't. What was the final score on that, by the way, Max?
22.
Didn't give it a whole lot of love in the queue, but I think there's some things that you can enjoy. I don't know. Savage thinks so. The rest of the guys probably don't. But it's there. It's on Netflix if you want to see some Shakespeare. And that leads us into our big reveal.
Yeah.
Whose turn is it?
It's on you, sir.
Oh, it's me. That's right. Yeah. So next week, I'll tell you what we're going to do. The conversation is obviously all over the place about Robin Williams and some great things and performances about him and his really quite remarkable career. So why not? It's right there on Netflix. It's ready to be talked about. And I'm talking about World's Greatest Dad. It's there. Let's do this.
It is there.
No Shakespeare in this one.
Not a bit.
Really?
Oh, I could go on a diatribe right now. I won't do it because it would be hysterical and uneditable. World's Greatest Dad or World's Worst Child. I don't know which way you want to go. World's Greatest Dad, directed and written by Bobcat Goldthwait. I say we talk about it.
Amazing. Yeah.
I say we talk about that next week. I've never seen a Goldthwait movie. I keep hearing about these.
I've seen one.
Shakes the Clown and
Shakes the Clown.
God Bless America.
God Bless America. Yeah.
God Bless America. Shake the Clown? Come on.
I love Shakes the Clown.
You would. You like Coriolanus.
What if Bobcat Goldthwait was Coriolanus? Would that be better?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like as he was in Police Academy. That would have been fun.
I would have loved it.
Been a little different.
No, because it's about the language.
Yeah.
I want to go beard to beard with you.
Whatever. Okay, so that's where this one ends. Next week, World's Greatest Dad. As always, thank you for tuning into The Q. If you'd like to offer your thoughts on the film we just discussed, or anything for that matter, please go to theqfilmcast.net. We're always happy to hear from you. So join us again next week. We cue it up, knock it down, World's Greatest Dad. Gonna cue it, gonna review it. And until then, however you say good night.
I liked it.
Out here!